going to give you a list of movies and see if you can think of what they might all have in common. Jaws, Rocky, Star Wars, Mission Impossible, Toy Story, and probably my very favorite, City Slickers. Boy, those are really different movies. What they all have in common, though, is they all have sequels. Okay? They all have sequels. Now, last week's sermon was actually titled Final Judgment. And it was one of several sermons based on chapters 25 and 26 of Matthew, where Jesus was talking about his return and the end of the world. And remember, the whole message from all those is basically, be prepared. That's it. And Jesus encourages us to be prepared. Well, I have, instead of moving on to the very next verse, which I normally do, I rarely do this, but it's like God kept putting a verse in my head that has to do with being prepared for the end times, for the judgment, for Christ's return. And so I'm just going to use one verse today. It's from the book of Hebrews, and that's going to be it. But it's going to be on the same subject. So this week's message is actually a sequel to last week's message from called Final Judgment. This week, it's Final Judgment 2, The Assembly. Okay, I want to build on last week's teaching by focusing on this verse outside of Matthew, Hebrews 10, chapter 10, verse 25. And here's what that verse is. Very simple. Let us not neglect meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is near, drawing near. Let me read it one more time. Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. These past teachings that I've had on judgment, kind of you could put them into three buckets in a way, this whole idea of Jesus saying we need to be prepared. The first preparation is to be saved, to accept Jesus in your heart, to be born again. That's where it starts. But then if you think of the other messages we've had, there's been about seven of them on this topic. That's a lot. And one of them recently talked about the idea of doing good works. In fact, if you remember, it was doing good works for the least of these. Okay, then the last thing that's really in today's message is this whole idea of encouraging our fellow believers. Okay, that's the message. Be saved, do good works for others, especially the least of these, and then encourage fellow believers. So let's get started here. The first thing that this verse tells believers is to not neglect our meeting together. Now, I've always remembered the King James version of this, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Well, the second point is that we should be encouraging each other as believers. It emphasizes the importance of Christian fellowship and community. And it says, particularly as the day of Christ draws near, approaches, his return is soon. So it's not just about attending a meeting, but it's about actively participating in the body of Christ. It's also this, I use this word, spurring each other on towards love and good works. Again, once we're saved, now as a believer, we can encourage one another in love and good works. You know, and when I think of that word spurring, every so often I'll watch rodeo. And the Broncos or the Bulls and the Cowboys wear those spurs, and they're kicking the bull so he gets extra excited, so he moves more, jumps higher, turns faster. Not saying we should all wear spurs next Sunday, but think of other ways that you could spur one another along, encourage each other. Well, let me give you some specific points from Hebrews 10:25. The first is the meaning. The verse is specifically a call to regularly gather with other believers, again, for mutual encouragement and support. Now, this includes lots of things, and I'll say things like phone calls, calling one another. It's not that we have to be in this room to encourage one another. There's other ways, phone calls. Something I've done over the years for the congregation folks is porch visits. Some of you have had more porch visits than others. But you can call me at any time and say, I'd like for you to come and visit me, and I'll bring my lawn chair and we'll visit on your porch. Or you can come to the parsonage porch. Either way. In fact, just recently, I started advertising on Facebook to be open to anyone to come for a porch visit, not just our church members. And yesterday, somebody showed up just for that very reason. They're very stressed. And so if you just want to pray for the guy that showed up yesterday at the parsonage and is going through stress, God knows the rest. Dinners is another way to get together, socialize, and encourage. And then there's things like going to each other's kids' basketball games, soccer games, stuff like that. And then, of course, it always includes this. On Sunday morning, here at Kennard, it's 9:30, and we're done by 10:30. We're done by 10:30. If you're watching online and this is too early, then can I suggest where I'll be next is at Caddis French Church, and that starts at 10:40 and lasts about an hour. So you'll be at Bob Evans in no time at either place. And then as well as with the Facebook folks, maybe you have a home church, but you haven't been going, so that's where you need to be meeting on Sunday mornings, if you're able to. Now then, what I just said about all the things, phone calls, porch visits, dinners, going to games, and of course come to worship service, it's contrary to seems like our current culture and the social media culture that we're in. And I'm so thankful, and I've said it many times, that our little church is able to broadcast a message using Facebook, and we also, at the Caddis Church, it's recorded in the audio only, and it's put out on a website. PastorBobLines.com. And there's dozens and dozens, in fact, a few years worth of sermons right out there. In fact, the fellow from the Caddis Church that takes care of the website, maintaining it, posting on it, paying for it, they take care of all that. He actually has most recently put our current video, like this coming week, when I send him the audio, he'll post this video from today and then the audio. And then there's audio for several weeks. So some people don't have Facebook. That's another way they can be part of our service. And I'm thankful for that. Amen. It was a godsend during the pandemic, but I don't think it fulfills what the scripture was that we just read. We should regularly be assembling together as fellow believers. And so can I just say thank you to you all who have assembled together today and assemble virtually every Sunday. I'll get to those that aren't here. No, I've got good things to say about them too. Now the context of that little verse, 10:25, Hebrews, the verse is part of a greater context that discusses the importance of faith, perseverance, and the approaching judgment. It highlights the significance of community in maintaining spiritual health and readiness. And can I just say fun? Is it fun to be together? There's other places we could look at and say, boy, they got it right. Most recently, just think of people who are Pacer fans. Or maybe they weren't a Pacer fan, but because they were doing so well, they bought a shirt. And they post on Facebook how they've been big fans forever. But there's a community. They assemble at a field house. And they drive for miles and miles. And they pay big money. Our tickets are very low priced here. So I'll just face in case you've never been here. And then if they're not in the field house and they're somewhere else, Oklahoma City, they'll fill the field house just to watch it on TV. And if you can't go to the game or watch it on the TV in the field house, the bars downtown Indianapolis apparently have been filled to capacity and overflow because people want the community of one thing in common, a basketball team. Christians, we have one thing in common, and his name is Jesus Christ. Let's assemble together, and let's show love and encouragement, and we can have fun as well. Well, here's another point in the that little verse, avoid isolation. I want to stress that. The passage warns against the tendency that some have, it even says it that way, that some have to isolate themselves from fellow believers, the fellowship of fellow believers. God created us with a need for mutual encouragement and even accountability. Mm-hmm. And you can't do that when you're by yourself.
That's right.
So, and the fact that recent technology has been amazing. It's been an amazing gift in many ways, but things like Xbox game systems, DoorDash, and even smartphones have really made us more isolated than ever.
Yes.
Let's keep using all those things, but let's don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together.
Amen.
Another point, it's amazing how much you get out of one little verse, and there's more to come. The day, Hebrews 10:25 mentioned the day. The phrase, now that the day is of his return is drawing near, it said. That refers to the anticipated return of Christ. And we've been talking about that the last several weeks too. It refers to the final judgment. It suggests the need for, again, fellowship and mutual encouragement. And it becomes even more critical, the verse says, as that time approaches. That was written 2,000 years ago. Do you think the time is closer now or further away? I'm guessing it's closer. So this verse really kind of puts a bow on all these things Jesus has been teaching us. Getting closer. Well, here's my last point, just of the verse, Hebrews 10:25. Mutual encouragement. I think I've said that phrase a few times already. The verse also encourages believers to encourage one another. Encourage one another. This means to inspire and strengthen one another, again, in faith, love, and good works. And I will say at this church, in the Caddis Friends Church, the love that people show and the good works that people do for the kingdom, many that aren't seen by the whole congregation, are just amazing. So keep that up, those that are doing that. Let me pause. Now, after listening to Hebrews 10:25 being read a couple times, and then all the points being made, shared, do you understand the importance of assembling together? I believe you do, or you wouldn't be here. Well, the problem is, there are distractions that keep us from consistently connecting with our fellow believers. That's the hard part. And I believe today that's harder than it was 2,000 years ago. Yeah, I don't know if there was an Xbox back in Paul's time or the Apostles' time. I doubt it. So there are many distractions that keep us from consistently being here at church. Now, for those that are listening online, for those that aren't here today, I don't know if you can hear me or not. There are always legitimate reasons for not being here each Sunday. So let's make sure we make this point. There are family vacations. Work can get in the way. Kids playing sports. And then occasionally we're under the weather, right? And then there's other things that are very legitimate as why we can't be here often or as often as possible. But too many times we just make up excuses.
Yes.
We make up excuses for not coming. I tell you what, I woke up with a hangnail today and I thought about calling Pete and saying, as our head elder, it's not going to work out today. But I'm struggling through it. Well, even Scott played the bass and he's got a sore on the end of one of his fingers. And so he, don't show it to the crowd. Okay, there it is. Too many times we make up excuses for not being part of the body of Christ with our brothers and sisters. Not being part of the assembly. And here's the thing, maybe you've never thought about this before, but sometimes, and maybe a lot of times, there's a power behind the excuse that you make, and it's from the devil.
Yeah.
It's from the devil himself, because he'll say, you know, you got a boo-boo, and so you can't play the bass. You can't turn the pages here, so you better stay home. Well, I'm going to spend the next couple, two, 3 minutes. There's a Southern gospel song, some of you are going to know it as soon as I say it, by the Kingsmen, and it's actually, the name of the song is Excuses.
Yes.
Okay, several of you have heard it. I'm going to read you the verses. It's a long song. There's 5 verses. It's serious and it's funny at the same time. But here's the thing. It makes the point of this message perfectly. Here we go. In fact, I think I need a drink before I... Did I tell you it's a long song? Excuses, excuses. You'll hear them every day. Now the devil, he'll supply them if from church you stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So to keep them folks away from church, he offers them excuses. Here they are. In the summer, it's too hot. In the winter, it's too cold. In the springtime, when the weather is just right, you'll find someplace else to go. Well, it's up to the mountains or down to the beach, or to visit some old friend, or just to stay home and kind of relax and hope some of the kin folks start dropping in. Well, the church benches, they're too hard, and the choir sings way too loud. Boy, you know how nervous you get when you're sitting in the great big crowd. The doctor told you, you better watch out for them crowds, they'll set you back. But you go to that old ball game because you say it helps you relax. Well, a headache Sunday morning and a backache Sunday night. By work time Sunday morning, you're feeling quite all right. While one of the children has a cold, pneumonia, do you suppose? Why, the whole family had to stay home just to blow that poor kid's nose. Well, the preacher, he's too young. Or maybe he's too old. The sermons, they're not hard enough. And maybe they're too bold. His voice is too much quiet-like. Sometimes he gets way too loud. He needs to have more dignity, or else he's way too proud. Well, the sermons, they're too long. Or maybe they're too short. He ought to preach the word with dignity instead of stomp and snort. Well, that preacher we've got must be the world's most stuck-up man. One of the ladies told me the other day, he didn't even shake my hand. I sure hope you don't let the devil talk you into these excuses. We need to be here in person, as often as we can. And I encourage the many that are watching on Facebook that can come, will come. If you don't already have a home church, would you consider being here in person? You see, we need you. We need you. This church needs you. And you need us. Same for the ones that are watching. You're by yourself in a room. You're there maybe with a spouse. But we all need each other. Because the Bible says that the people are the church. This building is called the church, but it's just a building.
Yes.
And anything could be here. But the people are the church. And the Bible says that the church is like a body and has body parts. Well, Christ is the head. Yes. Nobody gets that job. That's already taken. But the rest of the body parts are up for grabs. And we need all those body parts, because if we're missing a body part, what do we call that physically? We call it disabled.
Yes.
And our church, any church, where all the believers aren't gathered together, aren't assembling on a regular basis as often as they can, that's a disabled church. Yes. And we don't want that. We're missing, if we're missing you, we're missing someone that would make us whole. So here's the bottom line. Let's not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Maybe you've seen this sign before where on the billboard it says, it's a sentence, it's a question. What's missing in, and then there's letters, C-H space R-C-H. You. And so that's part of what this verse is telling us too, is if we're not assembling together, again, as often as we can, as often as we're able, then what's missing in church is you. So as I finish, let me mention one more thing about final judgment. In fact, I'll even mention one more movie that has a sequel. The Terminator. The Terminator. With Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
In fact, with The Terminator, there were 5 sequels. The second in the series is called Terminator 2, Judgment Day. As we've said for 7 sermons past, and now again today, there will be a judgment day in the future. And there will also be a time when God will terminate this earth as we know it. That's in Scripture as well. And then he's going to create a new one. Even the earth will experience final judgment. But for those of us who are prepared for the return of Christ, we will get to enjoy the new heavens and the new earth, and we'll enjoy it for all eternity. It'll never be scarred again. It'll never be messed up again. Death, destruction, decay, disorder, all the bad D stuff that you can think of, that will never exist in all of eternity. And so I'm going to say this, thank you, Heavenly Father, for that promise. That's where I'm going to be one day. And I believe many of you, if not all of you, will be with me there one day for all eternity. Well, this is our last teaching, unless God does something this week that I don't know about. Actually, starting next Sunday, we get into the very last hours of Jesus' life as he's basically going to be heading to the cross. It's going to take some time. We'll go through several messages. But in the coming weeks and months, Jesus is going to the cross. And remember, the reason why he went to the cross was so he could save us, so that he could pay the penalty for our sins, even though he had no sin. I'm full of sin, and yet he took my sin, your sin, all people's sin for all time, and paid the price. What do we have to do? Ask Jesus to come in our heart. Be saved.
Amen.
Once we're saved, that's not it. We're not just saved and we go on doing life. Then the Bible tells us, now start doing good works. In fact, as a result of the Holy Spirit living in you and walking with Christ, you're going to want to. It's going to be a natural byproduct to do good works. And especially for the least of these. And then what else are we going to do from now on? And many of you are doing it already. We're going to encourage each other as we gather together. Would you do that? Lynn, would you sing us a song, please?